Hey everyone, and welcome back to Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 10, entitled Do Not Disturb. It was written by Lauren Signero, who's worked on Fear the Walking Dead, as well as Flight 462, which was the Fear the Walking Dead preview, little 1 minute, 2 minute clips that were coming on during the Walking Dead series.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
And what made me think about this when I saw that she was worked on that is how Flight 462 really hasn't played that much into Fear the Walking Dead.
Not the second half.
Yeah, because it was only played into like the first half of the second season when we met the girl from the plane. But we haven't seen her. I mean, last we saw her, she was with those bad guys that tried to kidnap Alicia.
Yeah.
But it does make me wonder, like, why did they make such a big deal out of it? They showed it, and then the little boy died that was on the plane. The girl, only one person that we saw on the plane survived, and I don't know, it didn't go anywhere is my point.
I think it was something fun, because remember at the time, they had the Walking Dead game. They had this little 1 minute, 2 minute thing that they had branched off where people could go online and watch it. You know, give people something else to talk about.
Okay. All right. I actually forgot about it.
Yeah, like they tried to bring it in. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they moved on.
Move on.
All right. And it was directed by Michael McDonough, who has worked on Winter Bones, which was a really good movie. It came out a few years ago. A miniseries called Murder and Quarantine. And that's it.
Okay.
We've watched the episode twice now. This is our full recap, sort of, kind of. It's your first time listening. The way this podcast works is we discuss our likes, our dislikes, any listener letters. Then we have an award and a prediction at the end. I will go ahead and give our email out at the beginning. It's dead@theverdictsinn.com or on Twitter @theverdictsinn or facebook.com/verdictsinn. Send us feedback there. We'll discuss it on the podcast. First, on our likes, and I believe we already, if you guys listened to our instant cast, you would have heard that we actually really enjoyed this episode.
It was a good episode. It was a beautiful disaster.
Yeah, it definitely was. One thing after another, with the first thing being the opening scene. I think it's safe to say that this was the best opening scene of Fear the Walking Dead.
It was.
Seeing the wedding party, it was so sad because you see the loving couple, they just got married and they're like whispering, I love yous and I love yous. And you're like, no, this is literally, and I think he's like, I'll love you till my last day. I don't know. He said something like that, you know?
He said some dying words.
Yeah, the dying, the clearly I'm going to die in a few minutes.
We're not going to make it worse.
right. I'll love you till my last breath. Okay, that's like 5 minutes from now. Now, the dad getting sick and turning, I have seen some critiques about it. I think Walking Dead has kind of, I think they covered themselves on it because in season one, whenever they went to the CDC, remember the guy told him, I forgot, the doctor there told Rick and them that they seen people turn as early as 2 minutes versus we've seen people take 2 days to turn. But I did see some people critiquing, like, damn, how'd the dad turn that fast? Like, they need to get it straight.
Well, I didn't have a problem with how fast he turned. I have a problem with what happened afterwards.
With the lady locking the door?
Right. Well, scenes after that.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, just that storyline, I loved it. But like I said, it was a disaster. I had a problem with it.
Okay.
Like, I didn't have a problem with, I wouldn't know how you died.
I think maybe a heart attack. I'm thinking heart attack.
Maybe.
Because he didn't seem sick.
Yeah, he didn't seem sick. He didn't seem, I don't know.
So that day was going to be a disaster regardless. If the zombie apocalypse didn't happen and the dad ended up dying right there from a heart attack, like her, you know, best day ever in life was going to get ruined regardless.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, the lady locking them in, I don't know her name, but she was fucked up. You know, there's no excuse for that.
That was fucked up.
Like, I know you're scared, but just run away. Why would you lock the door? Why would you lock people in?
I don't even understand why she was so scared.
No, duh. What do you mean? You just saw a man bite his daughter's face.
You saw somebody bite somebody.
That wouldn't scare the mess out of you?
It wouldn't scare me enough where I'm locking the people in.
No, okay. It's not like he bit her She, her face was gone. Like, she had a piece of her cheek missing. It was,
then why
like,
not
all
go
bloody.
Try to help her?
You really would help someone if you saw
yes.
that.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not as brave. I would run. I would be like, actually, that's another critique, which I don't have, but I did see a lot of people saying those people didn't look scared enough. But you're saying that's like not a scary situation, or what?
It's not a scary situation.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, if I don't know that zombie apocalypse is happening,
they know something's happening, though.
They know something is wrong. They know that, the mother knew something was wrong. But remember, the lady who locked them in, the keeper of the hotel, the manager, whatever, she said, no, there's no problem here.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure they didn't know the extent of what was going on. If I would have seen that, I'm like, oh, man, this motherfucker went crazy. That's what I would have thought.
No.
I would have thought that, you know, he died and came back that quick.
No, I'd have been so freaking scared.
You know, I would have thought he was on, like, that bath salt or something. You know, that stuff we hear right on the news. Like, oh, man, you know, he got some of that real stuff.
Nah.
So my thing is, if I would have seen that, I wouldn't have just went out and just ran and locked him in there. I would have been like, hold up, yeah, what's going on? Let me help, or let me get some people out of here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because the mom was like, help us. And she was kind of a little dull with it. But either way, regardless of her locking people in, which I thought was messed up, I thought it was messed up as far as a character thing to do, as a human being, a person.
Yeah, character flaw.
Yeah, but I definitely loved that whole part. It was just, even though I would have loved to see, you hear them knocking on the door, but I'm like, okay, if I was in there, nothing would have stopped me from breaking out.
Nothing.
Like, you know, you start seeing people bite each other, no freaking way. Like, I don't care. I had to break an arm, break a leg,
is,
I'm getting out.
You see one person bite somebody.
Yes, but you can only assume after he bites her, what is he going to stop? Oh, I'm done biting? He's going to bite more people.
Well, I'm pretty sure if they hold him down, maybe they killed him. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened. But I'm pretty sure she didn't turn instantly.
Well, he did, and you never know.
But I would think she would have to die first because she's affected,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she'd be like, but your face is gone, so you might die pretty quickly.
I think it's more of a shock moment
okay.
at this point.
Okay.
You know, like I said, they don't know what zombies are.
Right. All right, next we have Chris letting Travis know he can take care of himself. So this was the reintroduction of Chris and Travis.
Love it.
Yes, I did too. I mean, they're not my favorite characters. They're not my worst. Travis needs to grow some balls. We've been saying that since season one.
Travis is just weird to me.
Really?
He's just a weird person. He's awkward.
Okay. But what do you think about Chris letting him know, like, he's kind of talking the same talk that Alicia was telling Madison last week. Like, I can take care of myself.
Yeah, I love that part.
All right. And then later on, they talk about survival. So Travis kind of talked about that, I believe, in the first episode of season one when he was talking to his class about, like, it's a dog-eat-dog world and only, like, nature versus nurture and all that stuff. I can't really recall, but
yeah.
In that very first episode, he was talking about that. Now he's talking to Chris again about how to survive.
Which was just awkward to me. Travis never had a plan. His plan was to go up in the hills, the mountains, live off the whales, go farming. Man, dude, man, you're in Mexico, man. Yo, you're going to run into a cartel up there in the hills.
Shut up.
You're not going to make it out the hills.
But wouldn't you say that's almost the same thing that in The Walking Dead they did? I mean, for a while, they were just off on their own. I mean, every time they tried
but
to stay
away. You have
to
look at it like this. The Walking Dead was like, what, years later? A year later?
No, but even in season one, when we first meet them, it's only maybe a month into the apocalypse when we meet Rick.
But I'm saying that everything was just all going to hell. Everything was shits. Right now, I mean, they still have hope. I know Rick and them, well, Rick, they don't have hope anymore. Hope is gone. But right now, Travis, I mean, this is not the time to run and hide or to run and try to live off the land. And then what?
I don't know. I would think I would try to hide, stay away from people.
I mean, just shoot me right now. I don't want to go live with Chris in the woods or Chris on a hill. Just me and him just farming, doing water, fetching water every day. I don't want to do that. That's no life.
I mean, it's surviving. And
nah.
I think that's what Travis wants. He just wants him to survive.
I think right now I'm more on Chris' side. I mean, besides killing, like, human beings.
Yeah, just like a random guy that's in his own house.
Yeah, that's not cool. But I'm more of let's make the best out of this world. You know, let's go kill some zombies.
Okay. So you're kind of like those guys, like the guys that they meet. They're like, oh, you know, this is our world now, and da-da-da-da. Like, we were kind of not doing shit before with our life, but now we're the kings of the world. Like, are you on that level?
I'm not quite on their level, but I want more than just to sit stagnant.
All right. Well, of course, we have Alicia. She was badass just like she was last week. And we kind of talked about it on the Instant Cast, but her in that elevator shaft, I mean, I thought it was stupid that she left the room. I did think that, especially her little marks. People were like, someone had wrote on Twitter, like her little marks that she was writing, how many zombies go by.
Yeah.
It was a weird check system. Usually people go four singles and then a cross, and then four singles and a cross. So you can keep track of it. I mean, that's how we always learn.
Yeah, but you know the school system these days.
Yeah, the school system. Who knows how they're teaching them? That's how you, like, I don't know. That seems like you would have to keep counting
no child left behind.
Right.
That teaches kids shit.
Right, because I'm like, it looks like you have to always keep counting those slashes. But either way.
It was a weird system.
Her system was weird. Her leaving the room was weird. Especially you saw 10 zombies or however many zombies walk past. Stay in your room. Just chill there. Let someone come find you.
I mean, every time I saw an X, I was thinking 10. Like 10, 10.
10, 10, 10, yeah. I didn't get it. But her in the elevator shaft, I thought that was pretty badass. I thought she showed some real strength, physical strength, yeah, and just emotional strength. I mean, you have to remember, she's a young girl. She's like 17, maybe 18. And I thought she did a really good job.
She did.
I liked her. I mean, Alicia's starting to become a favorite. I remember last season, I said Strand and Nick, but now Alicia has risen very quickly.
Well, like I said last episode, they're trying to develop the characters now.
Right.
Or they're changing them around. They're like, okay, this is not working. Let's add a little zing to this person.
Yeah, because Alicia before...
give a backstory.
I mean, well, granted, it was very early days, but remember, we did see her first. She was like having her headphones off, in La La Land, and now... She's awake. She's focused. So,
right.
I like it, though. I'm okay. If they're going to do character changes, now's the time to do it. I'm okay with it now. Because you can't wait until, like, season 4 all of a sudden. Well, you know, unless you have a Carol situation. But you have to have a valid reason for that.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with them trying to slowly change up the characters now because it's still so early in the series. That we'll notice it, but I think if it's good character change, we'll accept it.
I agree.
Now, the guys that they met, they sort of asked Rick's three questions. They asked, how many walkers have you killed or wasted? Oh, so I did pay attention right. This time. They said wasted because the first one they saw, they thought it was a guy that was drunk, that he was wasted.
I can see that.
Yeah. That's cool. Now, they asked, how many walkers have you killed? And Travis said he doesn't count, whereas Chris said 17.
When Travis said he doesn't count.
You're stupid. What are you thinking, that he hasn't killed many?
I would have said, oh, man, yo, this guy ain't killed none. This guy haven't killed none.
See, I'm thinking Travis would be more of an honest person as far as in Rick's book. Because I believe the reason why Rick asked those questions, and I'm not sure, maybe they explained it, but if you're counting how many walkers you killed, you shouldn't be counting how many walkers you killed, just kill them. Whereas if you count killed people, yeah, that's something you might want to count. You know, because he asked, how many people have you killed, how many walkers have you killed, and I think why? I don't know what the third question was, but... I don't know. That's how I took it. So when Travis said, I don't know, and then Chris is 17, I'm like, okay, Chris is focused on the wrong thing. He's counting. Like, he's, you know, he's keeping this as a track record for himself.
You can look at it both ways. I mean, anytime you kill something, well, I guess not, because, you know, when you kill a water bug, you don't count. Like, I killed 17 water bugs this year.
Right.
So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Now, Killer Chris. That's his new nickname.
Dope.
I think we should call him that from now on.
It fits.
Did it seem like he liked it when they called him Killer Chris?
I mean, that's a dope name.
Right.
I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. But I swear, Chris is like already feeling it. Like, you could tell he's like so happy. I mean, I feel bad for him because this is where he's finding himself.
Well, you have to understand that Chris is still a young man. He's around Kiss's age. I mean, they may be a little older, but they're talking about stuff that he wants to talk about. You know, it's not like him hanging around out with his father all the time. I mean, that situation won't work. It's boring. So, I gotta understand where he's coming from. And when I say have more stuff in common, I'm not talking about just killing, because these guys don't seem like killers.
Right.
They just seem like they're survivors. They're surviving and having fun with it. So I gotta understand his excitement or him wanting to be around them.
Yeah. I guess the audience kind of see him going down this dark path where I'm like, no, just listen to your dad. Like, you shouldn't have left Madison. Hold up. And
you see him going down a dark path.
Well, he's down this dark path.
Yeah, he's been going.
He's been there.
He already slid. He's in it.
Which is weird because season one, did we see any darkness in Chris?
Yes. And I've been saying that season one.
Okay. What did we see in him?
Saying, you know, he was excited about the protest, got out with his camera. Man. He was always a rebel.
Him excited about a protest does not mean that was like a dark path. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying it was dark, but you could tell what path he was going on. You could tell that what excited him.
All right.
I can understand the people that's in a protest, but if you're at the protest and you don't know what's going on, but you're there for the excitement.
Right.
Yeah. Problem.
All right. Now, Chris brings up the fact to Travis that, hey, the reason why you don't want to go so far is because you want to have the opportunity to go back to Madison. I liked it. I didn't see why Chris would care.
Yeah,
but
I liked it.
It did seem like he's realizing maybe Travis thinks, okay, once I get Chris back on the right path, we'll go back so we can go back to the group.
Right.
With everything that happened this episode, do you think it's possible Travis will leave Chris and go back to Madison?
No, I don't.
You don't think he'll leave Chris, or you don't think he'll go back to Madison, or both?
I don't think he'll leave Chris.
Even after seeing what he just did?
I mean, come on. We already seen what Chris did.
Yeah, I mean, Chris almost killed him. So,
I mean, when he kept saying that these guys are dangerous, we don't know them, I would think, like, look who you're with.
right.
Your son just had a gun to your head.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's trying to play daddy now. It's too late. The streets already raised Chris.
Right.
that salvage. But the scene where Chris took the initiative to kill the guy, I mean, I kind of like that scene.
Really?
I mean, I didn't like his actions, but I like the scene. I like, you know, how they're showing us that Chris is just getting darker. He's at his darkest point. Because after he killed him, he's going to stick his hand out.
Yeah, okay, like, I see. I didn't get that. Like, why is he sticking his hand out to Travis? Like, help him up or what?
Yeah. I don't know.
Now, I will say I like the scene, like, kind of the scene before that. When Travis goes and looks at the grave, and they all say 2010. And at first I was like, okay, well, 2010 was 6 years ago. Like, why is he tripping? And then I realized, oh, we have to remember this is supposed to be in 2010 because it's taking the same time frame that The Walking Dead. But so when he had that realization, I was like, oh, I do like this. Like, you know, I was scared that I knew someone was going to come, but was it going to be a dangerous someone? And this guy didn't seem like a dangerous someone. He just seemed like a scared man that someone was on his property.
Plus, they were stealing his chicken.
Yeah, they were stealing his chicken. So, even though I think if I was him, and I'm not trying to blame the victim here, I probably would have just stayed quiet in my house until they left. You know, just like, okay, I'd rather them steal my chickens and have no problems, and then they leave, rather than confront them, especially since, you know, there were more of them than you. But I'm not blaming him because that's his property. He has a right to defend it.
Right. Another thing that I liked was how they introduced us to these new characters. Their storyline, like I said, it was a beautiful disaster because the storyline didn't really make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just good to get, it was like a breath of fresh air to get new characters in there,
yeah,
there, and to get something going.
I always like when they have new characters. I think both Walking Dead and Fear, they're both good at having those one-off characters. Like,
right.
So many of their villains that are only there for a season or only there for a few episodes, they're always so good where you, of course, you don't want them to survive because you're rooting for your group, but you think that they bring a lot to the storyline. And although these boys that we just met, we can't for sure say they're villains.
Well, I wasn't talking about the boys. I mean, it was cool they introduced them.
Uh-huh.
But I was talking more of the hotel management. The people. And that's what I call it, a disaster.
Okay.
Because that storyline didn't really make any sense whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
But it was good that they brought it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to see what Alicia was able to do. You got to learn more about the wedding or what's going on at the hotel. But really, I mean, that shit didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That whole storyline was a bust.
Okay. Well, let's get to it then. I think that's it on our likes. Let's get to the dislikes. And Walt, you started us off with why you think that was a bust.
Well, first of all, when some real stuff go down, I mean, this is some real shit that went down. I mean, like, deep. I mean, we get to a wedding, we see a man bite his daughter's neck off. And you're telling me that when she locked him in there, instead of taking her ass home, which any normal person would do. Because your home is the most comfortable place to you.
Right.
After I lock you in there, after I see some crazy stuff go down in the world, the first thing I'm doing is, when I lock you in there, I'm taking my butt home.
Right.
And you know, she works at the hotel, so you know she had to live in the area.
Yeah. That you're right when you brought that up. I think you brought that when we were watching it.
So you telling me that some craziness is going down in your hotel, and you go check into a room upstairs?
And not only that, I would say even for the hotel guests that stayed, like, why would you? I mean, I know they're a hotel guest, but why would you just stay there? Like, it seems like I would have ventured out.
Crazy.
And like, oh, shit went down here at the hotel. Like,
once I would have broke that door down, which you know they did. Once I would have broke that door down, I'm gone. I'm running.
Right.
I'm not trying to stay and find you and get your keys.
Right.
I don't want your keys. I don't want to be in this hotel.
Like, we're making life here at this hotel from now. Like, this is where we're going to stay. Yeah. I did think that was a little weird.
That whole storyline was just crazy. And then when she said, I haven't been out of this room or been around the hotel in like weeks or something.
Right.
Like, why? You telling me this whole time after you locked the people in there, now you hide it from them. I mean, what makes you think the people are looking for you?
Right. And, I mean, obviously they were if they had Hector, which right. I kind of call bullshit on that too, because she's like, oh, Hector left to go get food. But okay, why would you ever separate in a disaster like this? And then too, when she said that, there was like a whole bunch of food, like drinks and stuff lined up behind her, but I guess they don't want to wait until they run out. But I kind of call bullshit on the reason why or how Hector got away. Like, and then if you had the keys, what is Hector using? You know?
Right.
When he's going around getting like, and that's why I said, I don't even believe that one set of keys.
That's why I say it was a crazy storyline.
Right.
That storyline that made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least we saw, you know, get to see Alicia do her thing, get to see her find the rest of her family, find Maddie, who wasn't stressed at all.
Maddie had no worries. No worries.
She was more worried that Alicia came back.
Right. Like, oh,
like, shit. Oh, man. I'm tied down again.
What if Ophelia's there? Like, I swear, where did Ophelia go? What if Ophelia was there with Madison then? I want to hear her excuse.
Yeah. That's crazy.
She's going to have a good excuse.
Yeah, did they kidnap her too?
Right. Maybe. But then what was she doing outside the room?
But then the people that kidnapped him, they didn't want him. They was like, just give us the keys. They didn't really want to hurt him.
Right.
Like, they weren't savages.
Yeah.
So that's why that's another reason it didn't make any sense.
Well,
that whole storyline was just puzzling.
The mom of the bride, she did kind of say like, oh, well, she deserves to die because she watched my daughter. But I was thinking your daughter and husband were dead regardless. You know, if she locked the door, didn't lock the door.
And then saying she deserves to die. Didn't you leave your daughter and husband in there?
Oh, yeah. You had to. Well, if they were dead, what was she supposed to do? You know, they were dead.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Look, I'm trying to go deeper.
Right. You should have sacrificed yourself too. But all right, so Travis breaking the glass window. A lot of people are talking about this. It was kind of at the beginning of the episode. He breaks the glass window in the car, but then he just opens the car door by the handle, like not from the inside, from the outside.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I think
that was just a glitch in the Matrix.
That was a glitch. Editing.
They missed it.
Somebody in editing. So, I mean, even Travis himself, the actor. He didn't realize, okay, break the glass, then open. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he didn't think to unlock the door, then open it.
Yeah, something. That was kind of just like them not giving a fuck. That's how I took it as. Like, hey, let's do this scene one more time real quick. Let's get through it. And that's what happened there.
Yeah, disrespectful.
Right. Not too big of a dislike, but the fake Madison that Alicia goes up to and goes, Mom.
Yeah, and then she's going to turn around slow.
So slow.
I never seen a zombie not try to eat people. Right? Like, she was walking away from Alicia. Alicia tells her, Mom. I mean, come on. Zombies coming at you. They're trying to eat you.
Right.
Trying to turn you into a zombie.
And then what would your mom just be sitting there around there for with all those other zombies near? Like, just standing around. I mean, well, unless she was pulling a Nick or whatever, but I don't know. I just thought it was weird, you know? I was like, okay, I understand you guys wanted it, but it took too long to turn around. So that's why I was like, okay, yeah. They're trying to pull this, but they're going too far with it to make right. us think something, so.
Put her on Maddie's shirt and everything.
Right, right. I was like, yeah, that was a little weird, too.
Yeah. Give her that little zombie Maddie's haircut.
Yeah. It was too much. Two similarities. Too much. All right. Madison saving Alicia, if you can call that saving her. I did not like this scene. And I've seen a lot of criticism over this show is that the emotions on the character, like, they're kind of lacking emotions.
They're not lacking.
What you just think Madison doesn't care?
Maddie really don't care.
Because Madison had this look, and she didn't even look like, oh my gosh, my daughter's here. Like, oh my gosh, I'm, like, nothing. There was none of that there.
Well, first of all, it took too long to open the door.
Right.
Like, you know the zombies not knocking on the door like that.
Yeah, because the lady first knocked on the door.
I mean, these are like human knocks. Yeah. I mean, if that's a thing, these are human knocks. Mm-hmm. You know, they make a little beats with it.
And I call bullshit anyways that those walkers came down there. Because when they went down there, did they not put the top, you know, when they were dropped down to wherever they dropped down to, they didn't put the top back on the floor? Aren't they the ones that went through the floor to get out or wherever they went through?
I don't know. That whole scene, it was just a maze to me.
Okay.
But yeah, when Madison opened the door and was like, you found me.
Right, come in. Like, it was just like, what? I was like, okay.
How'd you find me?
Right.
I thought I lost you. Another disaster was when the guys actually found Travis and Chris after they, you know, they set up camp and everything. Mm-hmm. Hey, why did you come looking for me?
Yeah, I did think that. Like, why?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, they kind of played on our emotions, played on our, oh, these are bad guys.
I know they said you stole our food, da da da, but it was like, okay, you just wasted a lot of gas, though. Was that food, that little bit?
Was that can of beans worth
it? Right, was a can worth all the gas that you just used? But maybe they were kind of just like, had nothing else better to do, and I don't know, but.
Yeah, that whole tracking them down. That was kind of...
Yeah, I found it a little weird. I did.
This is crazy. And then they said, come on out. We're not going to hurt you over a can of beans.
Yeah, or we don't want to have to pee on you in the dark or something.
Right, we want to set up camp. You tell me you can't set up camp nowhere else. Right, right.
You're going to set up camp right where we set up camp? Okay. But yeah, so that's why I said I don't know if they're a villain or not. Because they kind of playing them kind of, sort of, as a villain.
I think right now they are not villains.
Okay.
I mean, nobody had the heart to shoot the man. The only villain here is Chris.
Okay.
If they were villains, somebody would have took that shot.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
this guy killed their friend. And they still... These are young kids. They're not killers. I don't think so.
Wait, who killed their friend?
Well, he didn't kill their friend. He shot him in the leg. The guy whose house it was. When he came out, remember? The guy broke his chicken head or something. And he shot him?
Yeah, 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 yeah. You're right. Okay. Sorry.
So after he shot him, you know, they didn't retaliate.
Right.
So I don't think these guys are killers. I don't think they're bad people. I think they were there partying like they said.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for dislikes. And although we love the episode, I think the dislikes wasn't that many.
Yeah, it wasn't that many.
We still loved it. I'm actually looking forward to next week.
Even with the bad storyline of them people just the want to just stay in a hotel
right.
after all that craziness went down, even with that, it was still a pretty good show.
I agree, especially the lady. I mean, unless they went all the way to the border and then came back. Because remember, she was telling her, we need to go before they lock up the border. So did she go all the way to the border and was like, fuck, they locked it up. Okay, let me just go ahead and go back.
Why come back to that hotel?
Yeah, that hotel, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like, oh, well, I know that hotel's good. I don't know.
They knew it wasn't good.
Yeah, because wasn't it at full capacity? And I don't know.
It was full. In fact, after she locked him in there, she went in and checked zombies in the rooms and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she's taking her job a little too serious.
Right. She was able to lock those people all in. But yeah, there's some holes there, but.
Lock them in there. Go ahead and mark every door. And then she said she haven't left there or left her room in like weeks or whatever. But, I mean, she went floor to floor locking people in. You know what I want to see? I want to see are there actually people alive in the hotel? Like other people besides the group we've seen?
Uh-huh. It seems at this point they would have ran into each other by now unless everyone's just staying in their own room.
Probably staying on their floor.
Okay. Or then why didn't no one else come out of their balcony? You'd think someone would have been out of their balcony at this point. You know, Alicia was out there screaming for her mom and I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you got to think about it. Alicia and her people are there fresh there. The other people, they probably tired of seeing the view. Probably tired of seeing dead people fall from the balcony or look out. See dead people swimming in the pool and stuff.
Okay. Well, that covers our likes and dislikes. Just remember, you can email us at dead@theverdictsin.com. That is dead@theverdictsin.com or Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin. Today, we have a Twitter comment from David Valentine, and he wrote, "One of the things no one mentions is that they are on the Baja California Peninsula. Only one way out, heading north. It took the three dudes weeks to make it to the border, as all is desert and sparsely populated." So I think what he's referring to is, well, remember how I think we just discussed on the Instant Cast, like, what were those dudes partying out that far to where Travis and Chris are?
Right.
But they do have a car, and he's saying it could have taken weeks for them to get to where they are. But they said they were from San Diego, right?
Yeah.
I'm from San Diego. Tijuana is like, boom, like, well, we went to Tijuana.
Right.
Tijuana is like 30 minutes away. It's a hop, skip, and a jump, literally like a trolley stop, you know? So I understand if they were in Tijuana, which is kind of closer to where Nick is at this point.
Right. Yeah, they're too far out.
It just seems like they're very far out. But if it's been already a few weeks, because remember season one, remember it already, like, before they left their home, it was like 9 days later. So, you know, it's probably been a month, maybe longer. Maybe they've been traveling for these many weeks, so that's why they're deep into Mexico at this point.
Maybe.
Even though I still think it's weird that they were traveling to Mexico when, like, I don't know.
But they're going in the wrong direction.
What do you mean?
Like, I would think they'd be going back, north or going to the west or something. Because isn't Travis going deeper into Mexico?
I can't tell. Well, he's saying they're heading north, but Travis, it seems like he would, because remember what Travis said, hey, San Diego's gone, L.A.'s gone, because we're from
right.
L.A. So I don't know where they're going. They might just be going deeper into Mexico or a different way out. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, thank you,
Yeah,
David.
Thank you.
All right, and now for our favorite part, awards and predictions. I ain't fearing shit this week. I'm going to start it off. I think we'll have
start
the same
off,
person.
Baby.
Yeah, I think we'll have the same person.
Who you got?
Alicia.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, Alicia won last week. She's a badass. I don't think she won any time during the first season, but.
No, she wasn't there in the first season.
Yeah, she was not there. She's off in La La Land.
Yeah.
You know, missing her boyfriend or whatever, but she really proved herself. She, you know, she was able to stand up for herself with this lady, had this, what does she have to her neck? You know, she saved her life and then.
Yeah.
It's like, where's Hector? Why would you save my life and then try to accuse me of... Obviously, Hector's not here with me.
You know what? That was another dislike of mine.
Okay.
I forgot all about that.
Well, he's not here. I mean, come on. Did you see me at the wedding
party?
Why would
you save her life? Yeah. Did you see me there?
Right.
You know I'm not a guest here.
Right.
You've been checking people in. You know, you've never seen me before.
Right. Never seen me before, so...
But with that being said... The I Ain't Fearing Shit Award goes to, I'm giving it to, the hotel manager.
Okay.
who's able to still do her job in zombie apocalypse.
Right. Yeah, because she had those keys right there, like on her little, like, you know, her little pocket or whatever you keep the hotel, yeah, quote unquote.
She was still working.
The only hotel keys. Come on.
Still had on a housekeeping outfit and everything.
She sure did. That's almost as weird as when we saw those cops back in The Walking Dead and whenever Beth died or whatever. Remember, they still had their uniform right on. Like, come on, you guys. You don't got to wear the uniform still.
Like, this lady has a hotel full of zombies. She's still checking them in.
Right. Her shirt was all nice and tucked in.
Still ironing the clothes.
Right.
You know, still getting up and, you know, getting to work on time.
Right. Right. Doing her full 8 hours. So.
Right.
It was crazy.
So, yeah, you know, she ain't fearing anything. Like, she could have went home a long time ago.
Right. Her house was like 10 minutes away.
Stay right around the corner.
All right. Most likely to die. I can't remember who I said last week, but I'm going to say Travis. Travis hanging around Chris is very, very dangerous. And we saw Chris almost kill Travis before. It's possible one of these three villains I know you don't want to call them villains, but I kind of see them as villains. One of these three villain guys, they might be like, man, Travis is ruining our fun. His son is not fully over on the dark side yet because, you know, his dads keep pulling him in one direction if we get rid of the dad. So either the friends are going to kill him or Chris is going to kill him or a zombie's going to kill Travis. And they're like, come on, Chris, we got to go leave your dad. And then I just have a feeling Travis is going to die.
I like that theory, but I'm starting to like Travis. I'm starting to like his moral values.
All right.
And I don't think those three guys are villains. Plus, one of them has a hole in his leg now.
Right.
So he's not going to be doing any killing or getting around fast anytime soon. I think the most likely to die would have to be guy number three.
The one that got shot?
When they got shot.
Okay. From his shot wound or gunshot wound.
They're not going to kill a main character. They're trying to build them up right now. They need that confusion and everything going on with Chris and Travis. Alicia, you know, she's turned into a Tomb Raider. So we can't get rid of her. And Maddie's not giving and they can't kill Strand.
Right.
So the only person I can see them killing is guy number three.
Okay.
The guy that already shot in the leg. Or just kill a random person again.
Right.
You know, somebody else come. The guy brother comes home like, oh, I'm coming to check on my chicken. And they kill him.
Or the hotel lady. I forgot her name, but they can probably kill her.
No.
Not even her.
I don't think they're going to kill her because her storyline don't make any sense as it is.
Right.
So they're going to try to get it to make sense. So they're going to keep on with the story. Her story is like when somebody tell a lie and keep lying on top of the lie, yeah, telling, you know, trying to get you to believe them. That's how her storyline is. Her storyline is just, they're going to keep packing BS on BS and BS until finally you say, okay, forget it. Right. I believe you.
All right. Well, that is it for us. We'd love to hear your guys' theories, or if you have an I ain't fearing shit or most likely to die, send those in, dead@theverdictsin.com. Or Twitter @TheVerdictsIn or Facebook.com/VerdictsIn. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.